Father, we just thank you that you are here, you're in our midst, and that your heart burns more for us than ours burns for you. We thank you for just manifesting your true love, your pure love inside of us. We thank you that it sustains us and it carries us through the worst of our times. Just love you tonight. Father, as we go forth in the word, we thank you for giving us understanding and revelation. We thank you for causing us to see and to know what you're doing in this hour and in this season with us and with your people. Let your spirit just permeate every part of our beings tonight, so that we can go forth into this world and do your works and do your bidding. Because you truly are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's so good to be before you tonight and to be in the presence of the Lord. There are so many different things that are going on in the spirit realm, and the Spirit of the Lord just wants you to be encouraged. He just wants you to continue going on. Now is not the time to abandon your relationship with Him. Now is the time to dig in real deep. There are so many different things that are coming upon the body of Christ. And it's not meant to strip you away from God, but it's just the things that are going on to bring about His end time hour and His end time prophecies. Tonight we're going to be talking about the wonders of Joel chapter 2 verse 30. But this is going to be tying together some of the signs and wonders that God has going on right now. If you don't know it, we are a sister nation to Israel. Israel was created first, but the United States was created in relationship to Israel. And everything that we do, good or bad, ties together and relates with Israel. And as we go through tonight, we're going to see that some of the signs that occur over here in the United States have occurred in Israel. Some of the things that our President Donald Trump is doing right now in this time and season has a direct purpose and a direct tie to what God is doing in this earth realm. And there should be a woe or a check in your spirit when people come against him, because God is really using him to further his kingdom and to advance his purposes in this earth realm in this season. So just be wary of jumping on the bandwagon or just not really paying attention to what people are saying around about you, because you don't want a curse to come upon you because you're participating in biting and devouring God's elect and God's anointed. Tonight I'm going to be talking about some of the signs in the heavens. This is not all inclusive, but the most recent ones that have been going on are the super moons, the super blood moons, and the super blood wolf moons that have been occurring. Luke 21:25 says, "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring on the move." Now God had spoken to Pastor Barber and said that we're in Joel 2. And if you want to listen to that, it's in the message that she gave on January 20th, 2019. And it was titled The Great Reunion. God quotes all of Joel 2, and she explained all of that on January 20th, what it means. I want to highlight the section of Joel 2, verse 28 to 32, because it deals with some of the signs. Joel 2:28-32, God's Spirit is poured out, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Verse 31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said among the remnant whom the Lord calls. There's a lot of key words that are in that scripture, one of them being salvation, the other one being deliverance. But because of the signs that we are seeing in the skies and the things that are being prophesied by true prophets, we know that God is bringing forth salvation in this season. And he's not dealing with the house of God about this because you should already be saved. But he's dealing with those who are not in the house of God. And he's calling them and he's wooing them and he's bringing them in. So when they see these signs and wonders, the church starts bickering and fighting and arguing amongst themselves at what they mean. But the world says, I know something's going on. I know something is happening in the spirit. It is so critical that we don't get into this bickering that goes on in the church over doctrine, over principles, because we're wasting our time. Because we should be focused in on what's going on with the people who need salvation, the people who need to understand. And I want to encourage you to not get involved in that. Let them say whatever they want to say, and you go on and you minister to those who don't know and to those who don't understand, because they're hungry and they really want to know what's going on. So we have God completing his work in the earth and confirming that work with signs and wonders in the stars and in the heavens. So when we see these signs, we need to know that God is going to start moving in salvations. Truth be told, he started in 2015 with the blood moons. The blood moons are lunar eclipses, and there was a solar eclipse also in between 2015 and 2014 and 2015. So God has been working and moving all along. With the thing that we just had happen on January the 20th, 2019, was a super blood wolf moon. That's another prophetic sign, which is a lunar eclipse. And again, it points to salvations according to Joel chapter 2. God has been saying that it's time for souls to come into the kingdom, great salvations. Listen to this prophetic word that was given through Sister Julie Betts on November 29, 2018. There will be a massive event that will bring those to their knees calling out to me, for I will send my body out among them, for their salvation is at hand. People have not heard or seen what my body will do in this time. Satan will not touch my beloveds, for they have a mighty work to do for me. So be at peace this day, knowing that your heavenly Father is in the palm of his hands, and those that hunger and thirst after me. Another prophetic word through Reverend Aaron Betts, December 6, 2018. This is the truest blessing, is it not, that even the most vile of the vile shall be saved, and heaven will rejoice. Those people that we thought that would never have a chance at salvation, they're coming in. They're the ones that God is targeting. The people that the church has pointed at and said there's no way they could ever come in and be saved, God is touching them and delivering them. And if you're faithful to work in his field with those people that God has placed around about you, you will see that change. And you'll be used by God to help bring in his harvest. Reverend Aaron goes on to say through the prophetic, those that thought to be totally spiritually bankrupt, and even those that serve the very stench of darkness, will become a fragrance to my nostrils. Watch and see, children, that the I Am will make his I Am resound through the annals of history and throughout the corridors of time. It is worth it. Behold your salvation, and yes, many salvations draw nigh, even this night. Prophecy through Pastor Barber, December 13, 2018. Children, quit asking why and start praising me in the midst of the storm. By doing this, you untie my hands and I can go to work on your behalf to restore all that the palmer and cankerworm have stolen. This is the day of total salvation, and I want to come to your rescue. Trust me. There's a reference to palmer and cankerworm. That's in Joel chapter 2. That's in there. There's a reference to salvation in there. And God is doing these things. And when we get in those bogged down times, we have to remember to stop and praise him. That unties God's hands. That lifts that heavy weight of oppression that the enemy is trying to bring to us off of us so that we can continue on with the work. And let's face it, if we're honest, we all need to be reminded of what's going on. We need to be reminded, hey, you're in a fight, you're in a battle. This isn't about you. This is about the people that God has set in your hand to work salvation for. And if you remember that, you can go into praise and worship, repent. God, I'm sorry because I got an attitude. God, I'm sorry because I didn't remember your plan, your purpose, and have God lift that off of you. You can continue on. You can keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. And then don't get stuck thinking, oh, woe is me because I messed up. Don't do that because you're wasting time. Just get into that praise as fast as you can so that that mess can be lifted off of you and that you can go forward. This last prophetic word was given through Pastor Barbara also on December 22nd, 2018. Now. Right now is the hour of complete salvation. My son's birth gave you the extreme opportunity to receive salvation and keep it. Take what is rightfully yours and keep your redemption. The enemy has no say-so in this. He did not die on the cross for you, and he can't take your salvation away from you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can rub that in his face. He didn't die on the cross. Jesus did. And he can't take your salvation away from you. No matter how bad you mess up, no matter how bad you think you are, God sent his son. That payment was done. Don't keep sinning. Get out of your sin, but keep going. Because that salvation price was paid. You are the only one that can lose your salvation. Hold this precious gift to your bosom and never, ever let it go. So God has been gearing the body of Christ up to bring in these souls. He has went out into the streets and he is compelling them to come in. Luke 21:25 again, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring on the move. We are living in exciting times prophetically because of what God is doing. Again, not sure if you're aware, but 2019 started off with a super blood wolf moon on January the 20th. Now, Psalms 89 verse 37 says it shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. Then Psalms 19 4 to 5. Their line has gone throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. In the Bible, the moon is the faithful witness in the sky. The symbolic is symbolic of believers. So every time we see the moon, that is a representation of something else that we can rejoice in. Just like we look at the rainbow and, you know, thank God for the covenant that we have. When we see the moon, we can rejoice in that because that's another sign that God has left for us as believers. He's not forgotten about us. He's still coming back to fulfill all of the promises that he has. Now, the sun symbolizes Christ as a bridegroom and a champion. So every time you see that sun set or sun out, you should think of Christ. That should be your biggest motivation every day that you get a chance to see the sun. When the sun does come up, that should remind you of Christ according to the scriptures. Again, he's the champion. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. No one can defeat him. No problem that you have is bigger than him. No situation that you're going through is bigger than him. And when you look at the sun and you look at the moon, God, I surrender. Whatever's going on at this moment in my life, I surrender. I'm not in control of it. I can't control it. I can't fix it. When you get to that place of surrender and you say that you can't fix it, and you step back and you let go of it, that's when God steps in. And a lot of times God is waiting for us to say, I've tried everything I could. I can't do this. And when you do, he steps in. He changes situations. He fixes them. And he makes them perfect. The striving, God wants us to wrestle with him. He wants us to strive with him. But he doesn't want us to wrestle or strive with our situations. He wants us to let them go. Speaking to myself too, so I don't want you to think I'm just preaching. But when you look at the situations and circumstances that you're going through, you have to let them go and grab a hold of Christ. Grab a hold of God so that he can set you free. Now, Jewish law requires two witnesses in order for judgment to be complete. As it says in Genesis, the sun and moon are the signs of the times. Not just that the days, months, and years are passing, but they will signal when the times, the era, is changing. Recently, it's been brought out prophetically that we are in another 40-year dispensation. So that's a signal, a sign, or a change. If you don't understand it, we were in the time of John the Baptist. We were in that 40-year dispensation where God was crying out, repent, repent, repent. But now we're going to the time of Jesus, when Jesus is just reaping salvations and bringing in the harvest. If you look at those two biblical 40-year periods and 40-year cycles, you can understand where God has taken us and you can see what God is doing, because he has said, I'm not dealing with the church anymore. That's over with. Now I'm going to the outcast. I'm going to those who don't have anyone to preach to them. I'm going to those who know that they're sick. They know that they're messed up and the church won't go to them. So you take that Jesus to them and that anointing and watch what God will do. Watch how God will manifest himself to you. There have been many signs and wonders in the heavens, but this last one, the super blood wolf moon, has many Christians excited for what God is doing. Now, a super blood wolf moon is first a super moon. A super moon occurs when the moon is at the point in its orbit when it is the closest to the earth. Second, a blood moon. Blood moons were given their name because of the brassy red color the moon turns when the earth blocks the majority of the sunlight from reaching it. And third, a wolf moon. According to the old farmer's almanac, a full moon in January is called the wolf moon. So they threw all of these complicated terms at you so that you didn't really know what was going on. But those are keys to really figure out what's going on. Now, we just had another super moon at the beginning of February, and there's one more super moon that's supposed to come in March. So all in all, we've had three super moons. We'll have three super moons at the beginning of this year. That's a prophetic sign. There is a significant connection between President Trump's presidency and these lunar eclipses or blood moons. Christians must not pursue astrology. So what we're talking about is not astrology. And astrology is where you look up your star chart and you see what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to act. It's the false side of the prophetic. So where we're talking about astronomy, where you're looking at the stars. But God certainly uses astronomical signs at times to confirm prophecy, such as how the Star of Bethlehem confirmed the prophesied Messiah's birth. So we know that that's biblical because the Magi went out and looked and they saw the star and they knew where Jesus was at because of where the star was at. President Trump was born on the same day as a total lunar eclipse on Friday, June 14th, 1946. These blood moons falling on these feast days, the biblical holidays that should really make you pay attention. Not only was there a blood moon the night of Trump's birth, but there was also one during his run for presidency, and yet another one at the midpoint of his first term. Those things alone don't catch our attention, but this becomes significant because it fell on an important Hebrew holidays. They're symmetric. They fall on feast days and they keep pointing to President Trump. There are lots of other patterns in Trump's life that are just as amazing. I think people have heard that 700 days after President Trump was born, Israel was reborn. So he was born in 1946, and Israel was reborn on the 14th day of May in 1948. Then he's inaugurated, and his age is 70 years, 7 months and 7 days old, exactly on the 20th of January, which was his inauguration for the first term. Counting 7 months from his first full day in office, there was a total solar eclipse over the United States continent that happened last year, 2 years ago now, 2017. And that hasn't happened since 1776. You don't just make these things up. The enemy is not going to do that. That's all God. That's completely God. So these astronomical signs are just beyond coincidence. The convergence of all these signs really tell us we're in a very special time of prophetic fulfillment. We have a very special man in the White House we should pray for, and that's why we see such darkness coming around him and trying to attack him in every way possible. This is known as the Blood Moon Prophecy and is a theory that propped up by Christian preachers such as John Hagee and Mark Blitz. They believe a tetrarch, a series of 4 consecutive lunar eclipses coinciding on Jewish holidays with 6 full moons in between and no intervening partial lunar eclipse, is the beginning of the end of time. Now, before we get spooky spiritual and start saying things that are not being said, Jesus is coming back, but no man knows the day or the hour. So we are supposed to live every day like he's coming back, but don't go off into goofy land. Don't sell your house. Don't quit your job. Don't drop your insurances. Don't stop going to school. You continue to live and occupy until he comes. Because we don't know. It could be another 120 years before he actually does come. And there are people who are taking these signs and wonders and they're twisting them in a way that they should not be twisted. So we are not advocating that you do that. But we are pointing out these different things so that you're aware and see, hey, this is exciting. Because God's Bible, God's Word, is fulfilling itself day in and day out. And we see in part, we prophesy in part. So next week we may come back and say, hey, we have more information to add to this, and it will further coincide. So just take that as a grain of salt. On January 20th, 2019, a super blood moon passed over the United States Capitol on a Jewish holiday, and some believe this ties President Trump to a prophecy in Zechariah, creating a link between Donald Trump and Persian King Cyrus building the Jewish temple. The eclipse coincided with the Jewish holiday, the 2 B Shavuot, the 15th day of the Hebrew month Shavuot, the arboreal New Year, and the second anniversary of Donald Trump's inauguration as president. Now, I looked up what 2B Shavuot was, and it says the Jewish New Year for trees. I thought that was very interesting. And according to the stuff that I looked up, there's 4 different Jewish New Years that they have throughout the course of a year. 2B Shavuot, the 15th day of the Jewish month of Shavuot, is a holiday also known as the New Year for trees. The word 2 is not really a word. It is the number 15 in Hebrew, as if you were to call the 4th of July IV, which is Roman numeral 4, July. Judaism has several different New Years. This is not as strange a concept as it sounds at first blush. In America, we have the calendar year, January through December, the school year, September through June, and many businesses have fiscal years. It's basically the same idea with the various Jewish New Years. 2B Shavuot is the new year for the purpose of calculating the age of trees for tithing. See Leviticus chapter 19, verses 23 to 25, which states that fruit from trees may not be eaten during the first 3 years, and the 4th year's fruit is for God, and after that you can eat the fruit. So there was all kinds of laws that God had set up in order to be prosperous, and it included trees. Now each tree is considered to have aged 1 year as of 2B Shavuot. So if you planted a tree on Shavuot 14, it begins its 2nd year the next day. But if you plant a tree 2 days later on Shavuot 16, it does not reach its 2nd year until the next 2B Shavuot. So that's what the holiday was that fell on this blood moon. Now, noting that a blood moon passed over Jerusalem on 2B Shavuot emphasized that this was necessary for the sun to be a complete sign. So not only did it happen here in the United States, but it also happened in Israel. So they're saying because it happened in both places, and remember what I said earlier that we're sister nations and sister companies, the prophets that are out there are saying that this is a double sign, and this is a witness that God is bringing judgment to the world. Jewish law requires 2 witnesses in order for the judgment to be complete. As it says in Genesis, the sun and moon are signs of the times, not just that the days, months, and years are passing, but they will signal when the times, the era, is changing. The blood moon was very important in regards to President Trump, as it was a sign to the Jewish people of the relationship that the United States has regarding Israel. Now, I was listening to something on the radio today, and I thought it was very interesting because there was a Jewish man who called in and talked to this radio host, and he said, "I'm Jewish. I don't believe in Jesus. I do believe in God." And he said this. He said, "The Jews have been waiting for the king to come back for 5,000 years, and the Christians have been waiting for the king to come back for 2,000 years." He says, "I believe that President Trump is an emissary of Jesus." So the host was like confused. He said, "You don't believe in Jesus, but you believe the president is an emissary of Jesus." And he said, "Yes." So by the time it was all said and done, here is, again, a worldly person. I'm going to say worldly because he's not a Christian yet, who is looking at things in the natural, seeing our president, seeing the things that he's doing for the Jewish nation, and he's excited. If he's somebody who's worldly or secular and he's excited, how much more should we be excited about what God is doing? Because, again, God is really moving. And if he moves so much on this person who wants to know God but doesn't acknowledge Jesus yet, there's a lot that's going on behind the scenes that we've got to clue in. And we've got to start realizing God's not waiting on us at all. He's moving. He's moving very, very quickly. Now, Zechariah chapter 1 starts off with a call to repentance. And again, this is talking about President Trump as being this Cyrus. In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, "The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds, but they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord. Verse 5, your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet surely my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they returned and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us, according to our ways and according to our deeds, so he has dealt with us. So the Jewish people have recognized that they have turned away from God, and they're starting to get themselves back together, because God is now starting to have a conversation back with them again and saying, hey, I'm still God. You know, your time of punishment is over with. Now I'm coming back to you and starting to bless you. Verse 7, vision of the horses. On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shebat, in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse, and it stood among the myrtle trees in the hollow. And behind him were horses, red, sorrel, and white. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? So the angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. Verse 10, and the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are the ones whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. So they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting. Now, from time to time, God will speak to Pastor Barber and say, I'm sending out my eye, I'm sending out my vessels to see what's going on. This is the same situation, the same scenario going on here. God is searching. Whose heart is after him? Whose heart beats and pants after him? And I believe that God has sent his eyes, his people, his angels, over into Israel to find out whose heart is beating and panting after him. Verse 12, the Lord will comfort Zion. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which you were angry these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel who talked to me with good and comforting words. So the angels who spoke with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great zeal. God's heart is with Jerusalem, is with Israel. Verse 15, I am exceedingly angry with the nations at ease. For I was a little angry, and they helped, but with evil intent. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Verse 17, and proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Things are switching and are going back over to the nation of Israel, going back to Jerusalem, because God is fulfilling his prophetic word. God has been using President Trump to restabilize Jerusalem and Israel. Now, it is going on such that because of what went on with former President 44, the nation of Israel was really abandoned. And they determined in their heart, because of what we did to them, the United States, that they were not going to be dependent upon us anymore. Because they saw the signs of what was going on with the former president. And it got so bad as to where we stopped our space program because it was helping them. We were doing so much, and we were working together hand in hand. But now with President Trump, all of that has been restored. All of that is coming back into order. And do you realize that he has recognized Israel as the capital of Jerusalem? Now, Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. I think I got it backwards. They have been promising, the United States has been promising to do this for over 30 years. He is the first one that says, I'm going to honor this promise. And he moved our consulate out of Tel Aviv and he moved it to Jerusalem. So, all of the promises that have been spoken through us, through the United States, are now being fulfilled. Is it any wonder this president of ours is being come against? The devil does not like him because he's fulfilling prophecy. He's helping God to restore Israel. Verse 18, vision of the horns. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were four horns. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these? So he answered me, these are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. And I said, what are these coming to do? So he said, these are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could lift up his head. But the craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah, to scatter it. So all of the things that was done to the nation of Israel, God is about to start repaying the other nations who were tormenting them and coming against them. This is the second reign of Darius, who we know as the Persian king of Cyrus, which takes place in the 70th year of the exile. The red horse, or the blood moon, will be coming in the same month, the month of Shavat. So we just had this blood moon in January 20th, which fell on the month of Shavat, the 15th day, just like it says in Zechariah. This will be the second year of President Trump's presidency, just as Zechariah described the second year of the reign of Cyrus as being the time to begin building the temple. President Trump has frequently been compared to the Persian king Cyrus, a non-Jewish ruler who ended the Babylonian exile and helped the Jews build the second temple in 516 BC. What is known about Cyrus? This is some background information about King Cyrus. What is known about Cyrus is as much myth as fact. Although scholars agree that during his lifetime, he ruled an empire that included the ancient Near East, Southwest, and Central Asia, and the Caucasus. But Jewish tradition has been consistent in treating him as a pagan, agent of God's divine plan for Jews to return to the land of Israel from their exile in Babylon, modern-day Iraq. So, President Trump is being used biblically, prophetically, to help Israel. He's a natural comparison to this King Cyrus that is in the book of Zechariah. Cyrus shows up in Chronicles saying, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up, and may the Lord their God be with them. Don't know that President Trump is going to build the temple in Israel, but it's an interesting parallel that here this Cyrus did this for the Jewish people. Maybe God is going to have President Trump do this or help do this in Israel. In Isaiah, God chooses Cyrus to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel. The United States military is being built up by President Trump, and he is currently in Vietnam talking to Kim Jong-un right now, saying, give up your nuclear weapons. And he's making deals, he's making treaties, he's doing things the right way that are supposed to be done. So he fits, again, this pattern here to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel. The first century historian Josephus also credits Cyrus with freeing the Jews from captivity and helping them rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. The idea that President Trump is a modern-day Cyrus is particularly popular among evangelical Christians, in part to explain the gap between President Trump's personal behavior and his support for policies that advance their agenda. In December, an evangelical leader explained this vessel theology in welcoming Trump's move on Jerusalem. Mike Evans told the Christian Broadcasting Networks that Cyrus was used as an instrument of God for deliverance. Cyrus was used as an instrument of God for deliverance in the Bible. What is the most important thing that's going on right now that God is doing? Deliverance. He is really, really sparking and moving in amongst deliverance. So not only that is a prophetic sign, because God is delivering his people, the Christian, but he's also delivering the nation of Israel. And God has used this imperfect vessel, this flawed human being like you or I, this imperfect vessel, and he's using him in an incredible, amazing way to fulfill his plans and purposes. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu made this statement about President Trump. He says, I want to tell you that the Jewish people have a long memory. So we remember the proclamation of the great king, Cyrus the Great, the Persian king, 2,500 years ago. He proclaimed that the Jewish exiles in Babylon could come back and rebuild our temple in Jerusalem. We remember 100 years ago, Lord Balfour, who issued the Balfour Proclamation that recognized the rights of the Jewish people in our ancestral homeland. We remember 70 years ago, President Harry S. Truman was the first leader to recognize the Jewish state. And we remember how a few weeks ago, President Donald J. Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Mr. President, this will be remembered by our people through the ages. Very, very significant that he said that. In addition to Netanyahu, at least one Jewish group has picked up on the notion of Trump as Cyrus. Last month, the Mikdash Educational Center, which promotes reverence for the temples that once stood in Jerusalem, started selling a coin with Trump's silhouette superimposed over one of Cyrus. Its leader, Rabbi Mordecai Persol, told the Associated Press that Trump, like Cyrus, made a big declaration that Jerusalem is the capital of the holy people. Like most Israeli leaders, and maybe unlike rabbis and Christian activists, Netanyahu doesn't need to reconcile a president's personal behavior with his policies. He just needs a president who delivers the goods. Comparing Trump to Cyrus is another way of saying he's just wild about Donald. In closing, normally lunar eclipses are considered a bad omen for Israel. In the discussion of the eclipses in the Talmud, Sukkot 29a specifically described this to be so, since Israel is spiritually represented by the moon. If during the course of the lunar eclipse the moon appears red, as the upcoming eclipse will be, the Talmud states that this is an omen that great wars will come to the world. So this is still out there as to, you know, whether more wars are going to be coming. Now, it's been prophesied that wars are coming to the world, but we just have to wait and see how all of this is going to play out. At the end of this section describing the omens contained within the eclipses, the Talmud states a disclaimer. When Israel does the will of the place, God, they have nothing to fear from all of this, citing the prophet Jeremiah as a source. So what they're saying is, if Israel's doing right, they don't have to fear having a war. God is going to be with them. Closing, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. God's Spirit poured out. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, but the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. God has called us to Philadelphia Church. He has said that we are part of the remnant. And God is moving in amongst our midst.